105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White, and my co-host on the end of the phone today.
Charlie Gremo-Gillam from Ricky Concepts.
Charlie,
hello, Martin.
Charlie, lovely to have you with us. Thank you so much for making the effort. Just tell our listeners why you're on the end of the phone and not sitting here in this lovely warm studio with the rest of us.
Unfortunately, I am a victim of the COVID and isolating as one should do until my isolation period is up. So, unfortunately, I'm not in the office, but I'm absolutely fine and delighted to actually join you guys today.
Fantastic. I know you've been feeling a little bit poorly, so I'm delighted that you're a little bit better today. Just tell us what's been going on your end.
Well, I mean, I can't really complain. Most have had it worse than myself. And thanks to us being able to work from home, laptops and everything else, I'm still very much keeping on top of everything. So
fantastic.
Lots of sleep and lots of vitamins is what we've been having, which is great.
Brilliant. Good. Well, thank you so much for making the effort from your sick bed today. We've got a packed show as always. We've got a bit of a construction theme going on today. So as well as yourself and talking about Redkey, we've also got two fabulous guests in the studio. So to my right, we have...
I'm Natasha, marketing and big coordinator at Modus Construction Consultants.
Brilliant. And to my left...
Yeah, hi everyone. Michael Hoggett, Director of Modus Construction Consultants.
Fantastic. Lovely to have you with us today, guys, as well. Charlie, I think what we'll do is we'll play a little bit of music, and when we come back, we'll talk in some more detail about Redkey, who you guys are and what you do in the construction industry, and we'll get cracking. So join us after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for joining the BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White, today, and our fabulous guests. We've got Charlie Gremo-Gillam from Redkey Concepts, who's on the end of the phone and is co-hosting the show with me today. And we've also got Natasha and Mike from Modus Construction Consultants. But Charlie, can we start with you? Just tell us a little bit about Redkey, if you don't mind, and the work that you guys do as kind of main contractors in the construction industry.
Yeah, thank you, Martin. Thanks for inviting me on again this afternoon. So we are based in Whitstable in Kent, and we are main contractors and developers. We work in all sectors, predominantly the residential, commercial, healthcare and education sector. And basically, we will aid our clients from conception to delivery, or for their particular build project, and normally it's sort of within, you know, a particular size development that we were able to sort of really sort of deliver what they require.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us a little bit about your business journey, if you don't mind, Charlie. Take us back to the beginning. How old is Redkey? And I think you've got a slightly interesting dynamic as well, insofar as you run the business alongside your brother, don't you?
Yes, I do, for my sins sometimes, I say underneath my breath. But yes, we've been, we celebrated our fifth birthday in October this year, Martin. So it was a great celebration for us. I think they say if you're a business owner, you can make it through the first 5 years, then you're not doing too badly.
Congratulations.
Especially when the last 18 months to 2 years have been under the COVID pandemic.
Mm.
So for us, the construction industry was hit hard by COVID, and it still very much is. Mm. The overall sort of output declined by about 35% year on year in April 2020. So we had that battle to sort of overcome, and with other main contractors and similar businesses in construction, we're still plodding through, basically, bits and pieces that we've had to... sort of encounter. So there's been unprecedented disruption, hugely with regards to the lack of skilled labour, some labourers and some staff retraining during the lockdown period, and a huge delay in materials. now we're out the other side of COVID, or coming out quite happily, I hope, for everybody. There's a sudden surge in demand for materials, which is having another knock-on effect on the availability for materials and skilled labour.
So you're trying to play catch-up in a market that's now growing again, I guess.
Well, it is. It's something that we could never forecast, to be quite honest.
Mm.
More specifically to us and our clients and our developments in the Kent area, we have the issue with the Stodmarsh catchment, which I don't know if anybody knows out there, basically, that the wetlands, which are located in the Canterbury district, are an internationally important nature reserve. There's high levels of nitrogen and various other bits and pieces that have stopped or put a stop for the time being to planned new housing schemes across Kent.
Oh.
So this is another sort of delay that we're having to deal with clients and that we weren't pre-sort of COVID and 5 years, going back to your original question.
Mm. So lots of headwinds, lots of challenges at the moment. But, you know, how would you say that the sort of the business today is different to the one that you started? And what's been the kind of the key to your success, would you say?
I certainly think being a family-run business does have its benefits. Mm. Chris and I are both very like-minded and have a very strong work ethic, something that was drilled into us at a very young age. Mm. And I think we know where we want the business to go. We know, more importantly, what we don't want the business to be like. So for us, over the last 5 years, we've kind of had to sort of ensure that we're doing the correct networking, more importantly, finding the niche, where we actually fit into the market out there. Kent, as you know, is a huge accountancy, legal and construction family. We're a hub in this sort of area. So we had to make sure that we were pitching where there actually was a gap in the market.
Mm.
Building a very good team, everybody that we've had on board, we've grown and has grown with us and really gets a full understanding of where we are going to be as a company every 5 years, every year. And they are very much a part of that, and they're expected to be a part of that. They have their say. And they're able to build and carve a career out for them.
Mm.
And I think, you know, with regards to sort of, we're only as good as our last project. So we really try and emphasise our customer services and work with a collaborative approach with our clients. I know it sounds incredibly cliched, but, you know, if we're going out there trying to specifically find clients that we want to work with, We want them to know that actually, yes, we're always at the end of the phone. We want to be able to change our business model slightly if it suits them.
Mm-hmm.
And having Chris and I, and also James, although he's not bloodline, he is very much part of the Redkey family, to make those changes and make them quite quickly. So we're always evolving as a business, very much having to embrace the future we have had to over the last 18 months. And keep up with the emerging trends out there in the market, Martin, to be quite honest with you.
So flexibility is key in terms of being able to be, I guess, be nimble enough as a business to kind of adapt and take advantage of opportunities. I mean, you spoke about your market niche. You know, where did you guys kind of see the gap in the marketplace, Charlie? You know, obviously you didn't want to be another main contractor. So where is your niche? You know, what are you kind of particularly good at doing?
I think it's more to do with the size of developments that we feel we're particularly pragmatic at now. And that's come through a lot of learning mistakes and, you know, challenges that we faced and we've had to overcome. I don't know anybody in the construction industry that goes from Monday to Friday high-fiving each other, celebrating it being such an amazing industry to work in. It comes with its challenges.
Mm.
And I'm afraid some of us don't highlight the challenges and the hard work that we have to put in the rewards. So for us, our niche is sort of development size between £2 and £5 million developments, although we will obviously look at other developments and much smaller projects in the hope that we're able to facilitate those as well.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Stodmarsh and obviously You know, I think 2 weeks ago we had the kind of passing of the new Environment Act as well. So I think, you know, all developments are going to be under a far greater spotlight when it comes to kind of environmental considerations moving forwards. But are you sort of seeing a new trend in the marketplace now? You know, are you being asked increasingly by, you know, developers and clients, for example, to help them build more sustainable developments and build more sustainably generally? Is that something that you're starting to see filter down now?
Yeah, well, funnily enough, we were asked to tender for a fantastic project, which is the first pretty much renewable construction project that we've been asked to do from conception to delivery. And it's got planning and it's ready to pretty much go. And we would be delighted to get this particular project. For us, obviously, there's endless ways in which the construction companies can improve sustainability. And we aren't trying to be renegade masters in this. What we're trying to do is yet again evolve and follow market trends. Mm. If a client's going to come to us and really want us to ensure that, you know, areas like the insulation, air tightness, thermal mass, natural light, sustainable materials, mm-hmm. is part of their planning and part of their project, then we need to be geared up and have everything ready to be able to deliver that. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of people in construction that haven't had the opportunity to do that yet. It will come. It will come. And I'm not saying we're the first by any forms or means. But it's quite interesting that actually times are changing.
Mm-hmm. And Natasha and Mike, is that a trend that you're seeing as well now? Are you being instructed increasingly by clients to kind of think more sustainably about their development and the advice that you can offer them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe for the last couple of years, that's been led quite a bit by the public sector. We work with a lot of local authorities and the NHS and such like, and their requirements to build sustainably. We're working with a local council at the moment that's for 30 affordable homes that are going to be net zero carbon. So mm-hmm. we're looking at the fabric of the building and all the solutions within the building to, like Charlie said, you know, minimise the air tightness, or maximise the air tightness, I should say. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have air source heat pumps and PV, and that's definitely the way it's going. And there's another few local councils that are also looking to do that with their new build housing stock for affordable homes, that are looking to take that forward in the same light as well. So I think public sector has definitely been leading that. Yeah. And I think that's now filtering through into the private sector.
Yeah.
And I think they're sort of being forced to move down that road as well.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, guys, I think what we'll do is we're going to play a little bit of music right now. But when we come back, I'd like to kind of explore, as a sort of group discussion, if we can, some of those challenges that Charlie was just kind of identifying in the construction industry at the moment, and what we can do about it moving forwards, and whether that's, you know, government needing to play more of a vital role there, or what we can do as individuals as well. So stay with us if you can, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Biz Connect radio show. We've got a packed studio today. We've got Natasha and Mike from Modus Construction Consultants with us. And we've also got our co-host, sadly, on the end of the telephone today, Charlie Gremo-Gillam from Red Key Concepts, because, Charlie, you've got COVID.
I have, unfortunately. It's not a badge of honour, and I've succumbed, unfortunately, Martin.
But you're putting a brave face on it, and you've got your voice back, more importantly. So I'm glad
the world can't see said face, and I'm delighted that my voice is back for the rest of you.
That's it. That's one of the advantages of radio, isn't it? You know, having a face to face for radio, as they say. But we're having a construction themed show today, which is great. I wanted to talk a little bit more about some of the issues that you kind of identified in the first part of the show now, and especially with Natasha and Mike here as well. And that's around you know, some of the challenges facing the building industry at the moment. And obviously, you know, we've all just kind of come through COVID, and COVID is coming around again, unfortunately. So we're still kind of playing a sort of juggling act there. And, you know, we've got to keep people safe, you know, in the workplace. place. But that's obviously now having a knock-on effect with supply chains, you know, labour you spoke about, material shortages, cost pressures in particular in the marketplace. So, you know, just kind of summarise some of those challenges for me at the moment, Charlie, in terms of what you guys are facing on the ground out there on site, as it were.
And I think you've summed it up quite nicely there, Martin. It is delays and it is costing. That's where we're finding the huge changes that have occurred. Because we were encouraged to continue throughout the COVID and through lockdown, we've got staff in head office, thankfully. That's fine. Everyone is back. Everyone was back. We took time to stagger everybody to get back. We moved office to ensure that everybody had a safe working area. But we still very much have to police COVID on site. And that's a full-time job for one of my site managers on all of the projects. Unfortunately for Kent, we've hit a peak in the rising number of cases. I think it was only a matter of time. So we're sort of readdressing what we did 18 months ago. Delays, so going back to your original question, apart from COVID and the knock-on of COVID, you know, delays will generally come around from the uniqueness of our projects, the speed on decision-making, if clients want to make any variations, a lack of communication, which we try and eliminate at all levels, the lack of information. Sometimes we're not always provided with all of the information that's needed before we start on a project. Labour availability, that's another huge delay at the minute. And actually getting good quality, skilled labourers on site. You know, we're having people turn up and we're turning them away. They're just not good enough. And that's because there has been, as I mentioned earlier, a huge emphasis on retraining. People who have not been working in lockdown have decided that, you know, why would I want to spend, especially this time of year, from 7 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the day, in the evening, out on a cold, freezing cold site, when I could be doing something else in another sector.
So they've just left the industry. I'd like to bring sort of Mike and Natasha in as well now, because you guys have a slightly different perspective on things, don't you? Because you actually work for the end client, as it were, in terms of making sure that, you know, the work that Charlie does, for example, does actually kind of tick the box in terms of, well, it is to the required specification, those materials have been used in the build, and it's signed off ultimately by you guys.
Right, and we also get involved sort of before contractors get involved as well, so we probably see what Charlie sees on a day-to-day basis, we probably see it from a much higher level. So the challenges that Charlie and other contractors are facing at the moment are very difficult, and it's very, you know, with all the extra management that's now needed with COVID, you've then got all the additional issues with bringing materials in and inflation in costs and things.
So who gets it in the neck? Is it you guys that get it in the neck, or is it Charlie, or is it both of you? How does it work? Are clients generally understanding when a project starts to run over on cost and timing, for example?
Yeah, it depends who your client is, to be honest.
I was going to let you answer that one, Mike.
Yeah. I think from concept stage of a project, one of our roles and our main roles is to try and advise clients on what the predicted construction cost of a particular project might be, whether it's a hospital, a residential unit, a block of flats, whatever it might be. So we're expected to sort of see these market trends and increases and try and understand when this project starts in 6 months' time, a year's time, what that cost's going to be, and to try and judge how these things are going. It's actually been very difficult for the last 6 to 9 months, really.
Yeah. And is it possible to, you know, because you're looking, you know, that far ahead, is it possible to kind of mitigate against some of those risks through, you know, supply chain, through clever kind of supply chain initiatives, for example?
I think...
is it about contingency? Is it about saying to the client, look, you know, we know we're going to face these headwinds. We know we've got inflation.
Yeah, you always have to allow for contingency in terms of programme and cost. But I think being agile and being open to doing things in different ways, I think, is really key at the moment. So, you know, if you were looking to have a steel frame building and steel prices have gone through the roof. You know, being able to be agile and change and looking at different methodologies and have design teams and consultants that can look at different ways of building to suit the current market trends, I think is going to be really key in overcoming this.
I think it's paramount that it's being proactive.
Yeah.
And to there's always a solution. There's always an answer. And we use, obviously, a QS, and we would, our QS will speak to, say, for example, Mike, and we will put together a solution for something like that.
Mm-hmm. So it's making sure that the lines of communication stay open. Ultimately, everybody's in this to get a successful result from it. It's not about finger-pointing and kind of passing blame.
No, it's about proactiveness and mitigation, mm-hmm. like Charlie says. I think that's the key.
Yeah, fantastic. And when it comes to, you know, we were talking about, building sustainably as well. When it comes to, projects and things like BREEAM, for example, and minimising waste and recycling and everything else, you know, is that something that's kind of increasingly being built into projects as well, Mike? I mean, you do a lot of public sector work. Is that something you're seeing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, BREEAM's been around for quite a while now, but there's different categories of BREEAM compliance and accreditation. So whereas before you'd see a lot of BREEAM very good, we're now actually seeing a change to excellent or outstanding, and that comes with different scoring mechanisms that you have to be able to achieve, and that's through different building fabric, it's through testing and commissioning and reporting to make sure that you're looking at the project from a more sustainable point of view than maybe you would do otherwise.
And I guess that, Charlie, as well, is just going to add more pressure to kind of potential bottlenecks as well, isn't it, presumably, in the short term? I mean, you know...
Well, with BREEAM, I mean, obviously, it just provides the baseline target. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be monitoring, and as we always do, and recording waste quantities as best we can. Mm-hmm. It's just another thing for us to do. It's not really the end of the world, and it's something that we are really working towards, especially with our clients. One particular project is really based on the sustainability of that particular project and the rating that it's going to gain. Mm-hmm. So it's just us moving with the time. It's us changing, and it's us embracing things like BREEAM when we have to. So for us, it's not a huge problem.
Okay. So going back to kind of supply chain bottlenecks and cost increases then, for example, where do we think the kind of the root problem is, guys, with all of this at the moment? Is it the fact that, stuff that's being shipped, across the ocean is kind of stuck in containers in ports, for example? Is there just a kind of, there's just been a huge uptick in terms of demand because there's so many more projects online now? Where do we think the kind of fundamental issues are?
I kind of think it's a bit of a perfect storm at the moment, actually. I don't think it's one thing in particular. I think COVID, Brexit, you had the shipping container stuck in the Suez Canal earlier in the year or last year. I think everything together and increased demand, like you say, has taken everybody by surprise.
Yeah. And Charlie, where for you is the kind of the main kind of source of pain at the moment? Is it just literally getting stuff onto site for the next part of the project to progress?
I think the real sort of dwindling supplies, the key dwindling supplies of the building materials that I keep hearing about within the teams are things like roof tiles, cement, and steel. And they're not exhaustive of the list, but it just seems to be that, I don't know if you guys are finding it, Mike and Natasha as well, but those particular three key elements are... The ones that we're really sort of struggling with at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely. I think timber was another one earlier in the year that had a big impact that I think they've now started to find a way around that, and that's all starting to come back. I think you're right, Charlie, in the sort of materials you speak about.
Fantastic. Right, guys, I think, again, we'll play a little bit more music. When we come back, I'd like to find out a little bit more detail about Modus, if that's okay, Mike and Natasha. Yep. Just introduce your business to us properly. And then we'll get into, I think, you know, some more discussion around building sustainably and some of the things that have been going on around COP26 that are going to kind of determine how we ultimately build and build greener in the future. So stay with us, everybody, and we'll be straight back after our next song.
Thank you.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back again, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the Biz Connect radio show today. We've got a construction theme to the show today. We've got a main contractor on the end of the phone who would have been here in the studio co-hosting in Charlie Gremo Gillam from Recce Concepts. Charlie, lovely to have you with us.
Thank you, Martin. Always lovely to be invited back.
And we've also got Natasha Gould and Mike Hoggart from Modus Construction Consultants in the studio with us. Guys, lovely to have you here with us today in person.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Martin.
It's Monday morning, so really appreciate you taking the time out to come and see us. I know it's a very busy time in the construction industry generally. Just tell us a little bit about Modus, if you can, and the kind of and where you fit in the kind of construction mix, as it were.
Sure. So we are basically a construction consultancy firm that we're really here to de-risk projects for our clients and also maximise value for them. So we really deal with the cost management, quantity surveying and sort of contract administration side of a project. So and our client base is quite wide. We sort of pride ourselves on being in all different sectors. So we work in healthcare quite a bit, so we're doing a lot of NHS work at the moment. We work with private residential clients, mixed use residential, industrial manufacturing, which again is a big thing at the moment. With Brexit, people are now sort of storing a lot more materials and their goods in their own warehouses in the UK. Mm. And leisure centres and all sorts of things, education as well. So we're quite broad-based, and we're really there to sort of see the client through from the outset of a project where an architect's brought in to build them a school or whatever it might be, just to make sure that the cost side of things and budget's being thought about during that design process, and then managing the tender process and then managing the construction process at the end to make sure that we're sort of looking after time, quality and cost.
That sounds incredibly reassuring to me, you know, as a let's say you're a small developer, for example. I mean, I think we've all got this kind of our ideas about the construction industry, particularly on a kind of development level, have all been skewed by grand designs over the years, where somebody, you know, they've got a plot of land and they're going to build a house on it, and they engage a main contractor, and the thing gets built and everybody lives happily ever after. Yeah. But actually the role that you play is quite pivotal there in terms of making sure that what gets built ultimately, you know, is to budget, is to specification, and actually ticks all the boxes it's supposed to.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a whole team that help us do that, not least the contractors that sort of have to project manage that on site. But it's a challenging service that we have to provide, but it's very rewarding, and you know, we take pride in making sure that the clients do get that end product at the end.
Yeah, that's really, really, really important, isn't it? So, Charlie, I guess, you know, you need to work very closely with, you know, with Mike and the team at Modus, you know, when they've been engaged on a mutual project, as it were.
Absolutely. And it's not only when we're on a project, it's prior to a project. Mm-hmm. Having Recce Concepts on their tender list, or for them to happily request or recommend that we be considered to tender. So it doesn't just start on site, and that comes with companies really getting to know each other and figure out where we're good at what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But yes, I mean, our QS will work with one of the Modus teams, and they'll meet on site weekly or monthly, dependent on the programme. And sort of bash through everything that has been done on site, and they will go through any sort of variations. So it's very much opening those channels of communication. Mm-hmm. There's always a discussion to be had.
Mm-hmm. So, I was just going to say transparency, as Charlie was alluding to, is very key in that process. Yeah.
Now, Natasha, if I can turn to you now.
Yeah.
Because I know, as well as obviously working in the marketing department at Modus, you're also you work as part of the bid team. So, you know, how does it work in terms of how a client ultimately commissions Modus to work on their behalf? Is it normally done through a competitive tender process, or do you just get a phone call to say, you know, can you represent us on this particular project, or is it a mixture of the two? How does it work in practice?
I mean, I deal mostly with when we're tendering to sort of trying to get on a framework or like a public sector framework or something like that. So it's mostly sort of the guys in the office that do the tenders for the contractors to kind of bid into. So yeah, I manage sort of all the ones, yeah, like I said, for the big frameworks, like NHS frameworks and bits like that. So I don't know if, Mike, you want to talk about the kind of
In terms of generally, it's a bit split, really. Yeah. So we get a lot of repeat business from clients that will just want our fee, and if that works for them, then we'll move ahead. Sometimes we're one of three bidding tenderers, and as Natasha was alluding to, specifically on the public tender frameworks and public projects, they are open to anybody nationally to bid for. And Natasha will probably tell you a bit more about the requirements on those, but sustainability sort of feeds back into that tendering process now.
Yeah, fantastic. Good. And I know you're all part of a big happy family at Canterbury Rugby Club, Charlie, as well, yourself and Modus and lots of other construction firms in Kent. So I guess that's, you really are sort of one, in many ways, one sort of large happy family, aren't you? So
it seems a very collaborative. Unique, I think, is the word, Martin. And I think everyone that is in the construction sector will be there tomorrow at the City Lunch in London, that I unfortunately will only be receiving photos from everybody that's there tomorrow. But yeah, tomorrow will be a great event, and Canterbury Rugby Club really does, it sort of envelope us all together, to be quite honest.
Fantastic, good. I want to talk a little bit about KEBA now, the Kent Excellence in Business Awards that took place recently, because you guys also picked up an award there, didn't you, as I think it was Employer of the Year, that right?
Yeah, it was Employer of the Year, so we're really, really honoured to have won that award. You know, we were against some amazing finalists, so thank you to the judge, David Ward, from David Ward Associates, that put us forward for winning. So yeah, it's amazing. You know, I think last year Sleeping Giant Media won it, so you know, kind of competing against or following in their footsteps is amazing. So I think, yeah, and it was a kind of a bit bittersweet as well, because obviously there wasn't a award ceremony this year. It was they announced it in the newspaper.
That's
in the
right.
KM.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think we had a an expo down in Sussex that day, so we were kind of up sort of 5-6 a.m. in the morning and having to kind of like run to the petrol station or news agents and find a paper. Like, I don't remember the last time I bought a newspaper. But yeah, so it was all announced in there.
What that says to me is you guys, you know, you really do invest in your people, and you have a program of apprenticeships, is that right, where you bring people on from a very early stage, you know, college leavers, and you take them through your training and system.
No, that's right. Well, that's how myself and my co-director Martin started as a surveyor. We started as school leavers and went through a part-time university process and learned on the job. So when we sort of came back together 7-8 years ago now, we decided that was the best route. And also, it was kind of forced upon us because there is a huge skills shortage and skills gap in surveying in Kent generally. So we took on our first apprentice 7 years ago, Sam, and he actually achieved his chartership in May, June this year. So he's been now through the whole process, and we've now got, I think, 3 or 4 other members of staff that are going through that and should be coming out with their charter statuses in the next couple of years.
Fantastic.
Brilliant. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. And Charlie, you are you investors in people as well at Redkey?
We are. I mean, we've just managed to... We can only do one thing at a time. Mm. We literally, well, about 4 months ago, got our ISO accreditation, 9001 and 14001. Mm-hmm. So obviously the 14001 gets... sort of focuses on our corporate social responsibility as a business. But yeah, investing in people is definitely something that we've been doing. We've just taken on another apprentice, Reese, who's doing really very well. And Amber, who joined us 4 years ago, is now a project coordinator, which is exactly what she wanted to do. And she will be on site yeah. if I have anything to do with it in the next couple of years as well.
Brilliant.
The poor thing. So, but she's doing really well. All we do is give people the tools, and mm-hmm. I'm sure you're the same, Mike and Natasha. If you can identify someone that wants to learn and has a passion about doing a job, you just give them the tools, and then they will, you know, obviously do their very best and fly through it.
Absolutely.
So we're grateful for those particular apprentices for taking an interest in our company.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, when we interview our potential apprentices, they're school leavers and they don't have any construction experience or knowledge, so it's very much a different type of interview we have with them, and we only look on personality only. If they've got something about them and you think they're, you know, you can see they've got an interest in it and they want to learn, which is the key thing, because we're signing them to a 5-6 year program really, so you know, as long as they show that personality and that's all that we base the interviews on, and that's how we select our candidates.
So I'm sure there's countless parents out there climbing the walls, thinking, you know, what are my kids going to do as a career moving forwards? And it seems like, you know, construction is incredibly varied apart from anything else, but also offers, you know, kids today a real kind of career path, a long-term career path, which is really important, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's some really good platforms as well. So our apprenticeship scheme is run through the University College of Estate Management. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of working alongside them at the minute, with kind of Sam getting chartered recently, and sort of seeing that person go through the whole process. Mm. We're kind of working with them and doing sort of news articles and blogs. So yeah, they can kind of like share those on their platform. So if people, sort of young students are looking into getting into the construction industry, you know, they can go on those sorts of websites, and with the RICS as well. They provide some really good sort of resources and information about sort of getting into the industry.
Brilliant. It's a real credit to the work you're both doing, Redkey and Modus, absolutely. Fantastic. Guys, I think what we'll do now, we've got a last little bit of the show that we want to talk about sustainability in construction moving forward. So we're going to play one more bit of song, a bit of tunage rather, and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_Biz.
Welcome back to the final part of the BizConnect radio show today. What I'd like to do today, just to finish the show, guys, is talk a little bit about sustainability in construction, and also your commitment to sustainability as well as individual businesses, and just by way of context here, I know a lot of people are very sceptical around about COP and the outputs from COP26 in Glasgow week before last, but what the government have come out and said now is that, you know, moving forwards, any government tenders for work over the value of £5 million will need to be evidenced by, you know, a commitment on the part of the business towards achieving net zero carbon, and a roadmap to kind of support that as well. So, and I know Kent County Council have just published something that they call a design guide for sustainable homes, buildings and the environment that they're looking for input on as well from construction firms. So let's talk a little bit around that in terms of the kind of the pledges that you guys have both made as businesses towards net zero, because you obviously think it's an important thing for your business as well, you know, having made that commitment.
Yeah.
So tell us what that's involved from your end.
Yeah, so as you said, in the sort of public bids and tendering process, there's been a huge change in emphasis on the sort of the social value and their environmental policies. So obviously when you're doing bids, it's usually kind of split, you know, 40% price and or 30% price, and the quality questions are kind of 60-70%, and we're seeing those social value questions being, you know, between 7-10%, which is a huge part of the bids and the answers. So obviously the social value is split between the economic, environmental and social work. And so, yeah, we've recently signed up to the SME Climate Hub, which is a government-backed scheme. sort of free to sign up, and it just basically provides you with tools and resources to provide support regarding, you know, measuring your emissions, reducing your own emissions, developing your climate strategy. Because, you know, obviously as an SME, it's a big investment to kind of look into the emissions and things like that. So obviously to have those resources, like just to kind of simplify it, sort of like written in layman's terms. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as an SME, we do have time to invest into it because it is a huge commitment. Mm-hmm. The Climate Hub, you know, is aimed to kind of halve our greenhouse emissions before 2030, mm-hmm. And then achieve net zero emissions before 2050. And I think throughout the whole scheme, kind of every year you have to disclose your progress, mm-hmm. on a, mm-hmm. you know, yearly basis. So yeah, it's just a really sort of simple scheme for SMEs to sign up to that just makes it a little bit easier.
Fantastic, good. And Mike, that's going to mean some changes in the business, I guess, moving forwards. I mean, and something else that came out in the news today was, and Charlie, this is relevant for you as well, I think all new homes from next year onwards need to have EV chargers, you know,
So,
you know, and I guess it's taking all of that and actually applying it to your own business as well. It's, you know, what does our carbon footprint look like, and how can we, you know, reduce that to a point where, you know, okay, we're now at the minimum that we need to operate at, and we'll have to offset the rest. But it's not a question of just saying, okay, we'll offset our carbon emissions, you know, and be carbon neutral. That's not really what it's about, is it?
No, absolutely not. And I think as a consultancy, I think COVID is, and that's one of the plus points out of COVID, actually. I would say a lot of our carbon footprint is to do with travel, and that's not just travel to and from the workplace, but we work all over Kent and the southeast and down towards Brighton and Surrey and Sussex, and going to a 1 hour meeting and driving 100 miles each way on the M25 traffic, you know, COVID has just made people reassess that, and I think also given people confidence that projects and meetings can still happen proactively and you know, still have the outcomes that they should have by doing them online. And I think that's a huge benefit. I mean, it's not something that we've enforced, it's something that's been enforced upon us, but I think it's definitely got a benefit. And I, so far, that hasn't gone back to the old way yet. And I think clients are going to lead that. I think clients are going to decide whether they think face-to-face meetings are more important than a virtual one. But the projects we've certainly been involved in, they've just been as beneficial having them virtually.
Yeah. And the key thing there is you're leading it as a business on the ground, you know, rather than the government telling you this is what you've got to do. I mean, they're obviously going to provide some regulatory context in terms of, you know, net zero carbon buildings moving forwards and building regulations and things like that, and that's what they're there to do. But the point is you guys have kind of embraced that, and you're leading that as a business on the ground, which is really for me what it's all about. So all credit to you there. I'm really sorry to say we've run out of time on the show today. It's just flown by. There's so much more we could talk about, certainly in terms of sustainability, but I'd like to kind of just close the show really by saying thank you, Natasha and Mike, for being here today in the studio. I know it's your first time on
it
the
is,
radio.
Yeah. So no, thank you for having us. It's been great.
Yeah, it's been really good.
Love
thank
to
you.
Welcome you back again at some point as well. And Charlie, thank you so much for you know, for kind of putting a brave face on COVID and joining us on the end of the phone as well. It's been great to have you as well.
I know. I need to get off my cross, don't I, at some point. And, but no, thank you so much. I'm just delighted that I was able to join you after all, remotely or not. So
yeah,
thank you guys. It's been brilliant.
Fabulous. Thank you. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with another show. And actually, we're hoping to have KCC on, funnily enough, to talk about their Kent environment strategy. So we'll be putting that together in the next week or so. But for now, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you again in a couple of weeks' time. Bye for now.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.